Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
you want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Follow me to the world of ink.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stories for Children show at BTR's World of Ink Network with your hosts, V.S. Grenier, Chris Quinn Christopherson, and, of course, myself, Irene Roth. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, January the 23rd, 2012, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live every other Monday of the month here on World of Ink Network. Or you can listen to it on demand at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network and you'll find our shows on iTunes. The chat room is open as well to post your questions. If you have any call-in questions for our guest, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Thanks, Irene. You do such a great job with our opening every show. As you can all tell today, we're doing our show at a different time than we normally do, and that's because we have a special guest this evening. But before I get into who our guest is, I need to quickly go over what we have lined up for the World of Ink Network this week. For those of you who like to listen to our shows where we interview authors and talk to other people in the industry from editors to publishers, you can catch Marcia Casper Cook's show, A Good Story is a Good Story, tomorrow, January 24th at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, so it would be 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we also have this coming Friday on January 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern, the What is Success show with myself and Marcia Cook, and we will be talking about the challenges of writing and basically where to look when you're starting down the process to publication. So that will be a fun show. And that's what we have going on. And then also, if you are needing some services, you can always contact myself or Marcia Cook here at the World of Ink Network or at MichiganAvenueMedia.com. Okay, so now to our guests. All those wonderful announcements. We actually have a teenage author this evening, which is why we are doing our show later, because obviously she has school during the day. Her name is Rachel Jorgensen, and she loves science and nature, which is what inspired her to write her first children's book. And her hope, of course, is to pass on the passion of basically being a budding naturalist with others. And her book is called Diary of My Days in Kenya, A Naturalist Observation of a Lioness and Her Adopted Baby Oryx. So we want to welcome Rachel to the show. Are you there, Rachel?
Hello.
It's nice to have you here. I know you're a little nervous because this is your first time, which I can totally understand. And trust me, adult authors are just as nervous. So
yes, they are.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great having you. Thank you for working this into your busy schedule. It's not easy. It's hard enough as an adult balancing all the responsibilities, but to be a student, especially in high school, with all the homework. And I know you're in sports because you and I have both talked before. I know you do sports as well. You're also very involved with the zoo and the history museum out in your area as well. So trying to fit this into already pretty packed day is not easy. So we're glad you're able to make the show. Now, your book, A Diary of My Days in Kenya, you actually wrote this when you were younger. How old were you when you first actually wrote the story?
Well, I was in fifth grade, so I was pretty young.
Yeah.
Was this a paper that you were working on as a class assignment, or just an idea you got from a class assignment at that time? Can you kind of tell us how it all began, I guess?
Yeah, in my fifth grade English class, my teacher had everyone write a book. It could be a fictional, it could be a life story, it could be whatever we wanted. She just gave us like a page count that it had to be, and certain requirements, like it had to be laminated and bound and stuff like that. But I got the idea from a newspaper article that I read about a true story of a lioness who adopted a baby oryx, which is a type of antelope. And I thought that was a really interesting story, so I decided to expound on that, and I created the human characters, but the story itself is pretty close to fact. And I've always been interested in science and the natural world and everything, and I ended up getting an A+ on the assignment, so I thought that was good.
Now, did you change the assignment that you did a lot to put it into the book format, or is this pretty much how you did the assignment? Because, I mean, for those, you know, who are listening who haven't read the book, I mean, it's journal entries. I mean, that's why it's called A Diary of My Days in Kenya. I mean, every day there's a journal entry from, you know, the scientist watching the lioness and what she's doing. And so was that something that you did for your class assignment, or something went back and changed?
During that time frame in fifth grade, a lot of the books that I was reading at the time were set up as journal entries. It was usually historical fiction books that I liked to read, and they were fictional journals that famous people wrote. So there was Queens of England and other stuff like that that were writing journals. So I decided to write my book like that. And I had the book originally as a journal, but when I sent it in to Halo Publishing, I didn't have to make too many changes for them to accept it. They accepted it right away. I only had a few things that they wanted me to edit, but otherwise it's basically the same thing that I turned in so many years ago.
Right.
Wow. That's very, you know, to be so young and talented.
That's
wonderful. Now, you've mentioned quite a few times that you have a love for nature and science. Is that something that developed as you got older, or in fifth grade, where you already knew that you liked those two subjects?
Yeah, ever since I was little, I was growing up watching Discovery Channel TV shows and documentaries and stuff like that, and I live very close to the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. And my mom would take me up there 2-3 times a week, and just to see the animals. And I've always been drawn to that.
Mm-hmm. So
my mentor was Steve Irwin growing up. I mean, he's one of the main reasons of what I want to be when I grow up: a naturalist, herpetologist, all of that.
So you're gonna focus in on the sciences then as you continue into college. Have you thought, I mean, and one thing, you know, I know in a couple of your interviews, you know, the question comes up, well, are you planning on writing any books? And I know you said, you know, in a couple of them that your dream was not really to continue the pathway of being just an author, you know, writing books as a life career. And but I know a lot of scientists, you know, and naturalists and people in a lot of those different fields that deal with animals and stuff do write books. So do you see yourself possibly writing some more books over the years?
I sure hope so. This has been a great experience that I really enjoyed, and I hope so that either through my own experiences, or I'll find another amazing story such as the one that I stumbled upon before that I could write about. But hopefully, maybe in my future, once I become a successful naturalist or something like that. Maybe I'll write a true story from my real own experiences. That I would love to do that.
No, that'd be great. Now, your book was illustrated by your grandfather, correct?
Yes.
So tell us about that process, because, you know, sometimes a lot of authors don't get to work with their illustrators, and then even when they do get to work with illustrators, you know, what the author sees and what the illustrator, you know, pictures in their mind are two totally different things, and then now you're throwing in the fact that it's a family member. So I'd love to hear about that experience.
Yeah, my grandfather, he's a retired firefighter, and he's always just spent his free time painting and doing all this artsy stuff that I've always been blown away by. And he never went to art school or anything like that. He's completely self-taught. And when I first wrote the book in fifth grade, when I turned it into school, I had to find my own pictures. I didn't have to draw anything like that. I took them out of, you know, textbooks that I found. But a lot of the pictures from that first book, I gave to him for him to get an idea of what I was picturing at that time. And he would sketch something out for me, and we would talk about it, and we would. He even went to the library himself to find a few other books to get ideas and get inspired by it and everything. I'm really impressed on how well he did, because he hasn't been painting too much recently just because of his health and everything, but he really enjoyed doing this for me, and I think he did an amazing job.
No, I do too. Now, I don't know if you know what what he, you know, used to do the illustrations, but they kind of have like a watercolor kind of look to them. Do you know if that's what he used, was watercolors, or was it chalk and pencil as well?
He didn't use watercolors. He used acrylic paint. That's what.
Oh, it is acrylic paint.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wonder if, because it blends more like how watercolors kind of blend to some degree. So it's interesting. It's acrylic paint.
Wow.
But beautifully done.
Yeah, it is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Now, the story, you said, is of course based on a true story. So do you mind sharing a little bit about what inspired you about the story with this lioness and how she was basically adopting what would be considered normally her food to take on his children?
Well, in the original newspaper story was that there is this lioness who lost her cubs to an opposing male lion, and she decided that because she lost her cubs, she found this young oryx who had actually been abandoned by its real mother, and I don't know how it happened or what was going through her mind, but she decided to adopt it. It's truly amazing. But she had adopted it for a while, but in the real story, because she really wasn't able to supply it milk because it was still quite young, the baby ended up dying in the real story, but, you know, my needed a little bit more of a happy ending.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I know there's a lot of, you know, stories out there where they talk, I mean, just, you know, even animals that are completely different from each other having just unique friendships. But the fact that, especially out in Kenya where it's dry, water is scarce, food is scarce, that, you know, a lioness would take on a baby, you know, oryx that, you know, like I said, would typically be its food is amazing, because you would think, you know, how long is it going to be till she finds food again to even eat? And here, you know, walking next to her is a nice, you know, snack. So it would be interesting one day if, you know, if scientists ever get to the point where they can, somehow figure out through body language or something what is kind of going through these animals' minds when they do some extraordinary things, because it is an amazing story. Now, I know you meet up the character, the scientist that's watching this going on. Is she based off you or somebody that you know at the zoo or natural wildlife museum that you visit and work at?
I got the name actually from opening up the telephone book and pointing my finger at a name, and that was the name that I chose.
Wow.
But the character themselves is what I would hope to be at some point in time. Hopefully me in the future. I didn't want to name the naturalist after myself, but in my mind, that's Susan Poling, the naturalist in my book, is definitely someone who I would want to be when I'm older.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you also participate in educational programs out in your area that deal with wildlife. Can you share a little bit about the different programs that you're a part of and your experiences with them? And
sure.
Okay.
I do a volunteer program at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo called the Zoo Crew, and we over the summer, and we also have a year-round program. But over the summer specifically, we go out into the zoo and do different activities, usually with children, but sometimes including the parents, too, just to teach them something. But all the activities range from conservation awareness to recycling and animal protection and stuff like that, and other programs that the zoo is doing, such as cell phone recycling and phone book recycling and stuff like that. We do that, and also we have other programs during the summer that are in relation with the Cleveland Metro Park, which is just a big park system throughout the Cleveland area. And we help out with cleaning debris off of the beaches around Lake Erie, or digging out invasive plant species, stuff like that. I'm also a member of the Future Scientist Program at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. I've been in it the last couple of years, and it's a great program, and I've really enjoyed participating in it. We've done tons of activities that are actually our surveys that the museum uses for other programs, and also their research studies. I've done surveys for snakes. I've also done some bird surveys, and also I think it was last summer or two summers ago, we participated in this Lake Erie boat float. And it's basically just a thing that we make a boat out of junk, and we try and float it out into Lake Erie and back. And my team won that year, but that's amazing.
That is great.
But it was basically just to raise awareness about the stuff that people are throwing out, and also the it's a thing called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is plastics out in the ocean, and just raising awareness about that type of stuff. But tons of activities that I believe are really helping the community out. So it's stuff that's
wonderful,
close to my heart, and I really enjoy it.
No, that's great. I mean, it's rare I don't know, maybe it's just from my California background and living in the L.A. area, but it seemed like there was very few youth that were involved when I was growing up. And I kind of see that even with my son, who's close to your age as well. And his friends, if their scouting is, of course, doing a service project, they're all there. But do they automatically go do something? No. So I think it's great that you're so involved and you're doing it not because you're a part of, you know, like a Girl Scout troop or, you know, some type of thing. I mean, it's something you're passionate about, and I think that's great because other kids see that and you're an example to them that, you know, it's you can, you know, still have friends and go do stuff but still be involved and aware of, you know, the world around us, and I think that's great. So I'm just curious because I know you're I believe, right, junior in high school?
Correct.
Okay. Now, with everything that you do, you also do sports. So how do you kind of balance your day out? I mean, you don't have to get too specific because, you know, obviously we don't want to, since you are under 18, we don't want to give people too much information about you. But, you know, what's it kind of like balancing your day, especially now that you have a book that you're also trying to promote as well? I mean, it's got to be pretty hectic on your schedule.
It is. But I have my school day, and then I'll either do my homework in the car on the way to some sort of practice, either for tennis or softball, depending on the season. And then yeah, I'll finish my practice, and then I'll do the rest of my homework in the car on my way back home. And then we'll eat, and then, you know, I'll either check in on a blog that my book's appearing on or do something like this. And you know, the last little bit of free time, I like spending time with my friends. But I also, sometimes on the weekends, I'll have, like, a tennis tournament that's out of the city. Or I also do science fair projects, so that takes up a weekend or two here and there. So anyway, I thank my friends a lot because they're always asking me, hey, do you want to hang out? And no, I have this, or I have another thing.
But your friends are so supportive of what you're doing as well, because, you know, I don't want to say I wasn't active when I was in high school. I was in track and field and cross country. And I had friends who were in cheer, and I was at all the football games to support, of course, our team and my friends who are on the cheerleading squad and stuff, but not nearly as busy as you are. And I just sit there thinking, you know, everybody calls me an octopus, and here I am as an adult. I'm like, I don't know if I could do what I do now at your age. Because you definitely have to be a pretty organized, you know, person. Mm-hmm. To keep everything up in the air and going at all times. Is there any time where you, cause I know as an adult, you know, and a lot of us do this as adults, and we'll sit back and kind of go, you know, I just want to get in my car and just drive away and not come back because I just need a break from it all. Do you ever feel like that as well? I mean, you're busier than a typical teenager. You really are.
Definitely there are times, but I try to give myself like a little system. Like I'll do a certain amount of my homework, and then I'll take a little break and do something on my computer or check up on my email or catch up on all the missed texts on my phone or something, and then I'll go back to work for a little while longer, and then I kind of do this like a little reward system just to keep me going. Otherwise I just stop, and then I just say, I'm done.
Yeah. I can understand it. You know, go ahead, Irene.
I'm sorry, that was just amazing, balancing all of these activities and doing and still trying to have a life. That's absolutely awesome. I mean, kudos to you, totally.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
Like I said, I would not have been able to do what she does, what you do, Rachel. I know, I would have gone in my room and like buried myself under my covers and said, I'm not coming out. So I think it's amazing that you're so busy. But, you know, the good thing is you're learning these life skills now. So when you are out, you know, in college, which it just gets, you know, even busier, obviously, when you hit college, because then you have to throw trying to have a job into the mix so you can pay for stuff. And then, of course, then you're working, and once you're, you know, an adult and everything else, I mean, you're going to have this down. You're going to be really organized by the time you're in your 20s. You're going to, where everybody else is still trying to figure it out, they're going to be looking and going, why is it so easy for you? I've been doing this for so long. That's a good thing. Now, I'm just curious, what is your favorite, when you have free time, in those moments you get some free time, what's your favorite thing to do when you actually get some time to just take a breath of fresh air and just put your feet up and go, okay, it's some me time now?
Well, I really enjoy reading. I just finished 10 book series a few months ago, and then I finished it's called The Inheritance Cycle. Christopher Paolini. There's this really long book, but it's just a 4 book series. And
so you just finished that? You just read the 4th book then?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it? I have them too, and I have the 4th book, and I'm so busy. See, this is how busy I am. I have that sitting still on my desk going, read me, and I haven't picked it up yet. And I got it for Christmas.
Oh, gosh, it's so good.
Is it? Because, you know, yeah. The way his books end, I mean, they're always on cliffhangers, and you're like, what? We're in the middle of a battle, and you're ending the story? What the heck, you know? So I'm like, it's been a year and a half since it took to get, or maybe it's been 2 years, I don't know, since book 3 to book 4. I don't know. It's been a big time frame. I know that.
It has,
so.
Yeah.
I was waiting for so long, and then when I found out that it was coming out, I was like, yes! So I decided to remember what was going on.
That's great. Well, and you know that he was a teenager when he wrote the first book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a homeschooled kid. He was the same age as Rachel when he wrote the first book. He was in his teens, so there's some inspiration for you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're busted out. So you read. What is probably your favorite book? Since it sounds like you're an avid reader.
Oh, goodness. I have to pick a favorite?
Just one fave.
Do you have a favorite author?
Well, other than my book, I really enjoy the books of an author called John Green. His book, Looking for Alaska, is probably my favorite book.
Oh, good.
I just feel that I relate to the main character really well, and it's an interesting story. It's put in the mind of a teenager, and the stuff they go through. And also, John Green's other books, I absolutely love his humor. Like, he can take any situation and make it funny. It's like, we go from extremely serious to laughing my head off. It's perfect.
Wow.
Well, that's great. So what do you have planned, I mean, obviously, besides graduating high school in the upcoming year, you know, next year, graduating high school, what else do you have planned? Are you planning on staying local for college, going away for college, have some book ideas that you're kind of maybe playing around with to try and fit in between all of that? Or are you going to concentrate more on getting, you know, more active at the zoo and the museum that you're already helping out at already? I mean, kind of what are your plans?
Well, I'm planning on going to a college relatively nearby in Canton, Ohio. Staying in state, but, you know, close enough to home that I can go home, but still far enough away that, you know, I'm not going to be tempted to go home all the time. And after college, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've always said that I want to move to Australia, but who knows if that will happen. But during college, I really just want to focus on my studies for the most part. I write a lot of poetry now, so maybe if I write enough of that, maybe I should make some compilation or something like that. But I don't know about another children's book quite yet, but hopefully in the future I'll be able to get another one out.
Well, it makes sense, and definitely. I mean, you're in the crucial, you know, high school years where, you know, you're going to be taking SATs and the ACTs and talking to your counselor. And I love that. My son just actually had that. We all got pulled in there. It's like, well, let's talk about what you want to do for a career. I'm sort of thinking, he still has a year and a half more to go. And then I started laughing because I remember half of my student class said they were going to be one thing when we all graduated, and they're all doing completely different things now. Way different from what they ever said. I mean, I get the whole doctor and lawyer thing because it's hard getting into those colleges, and those are, you know, really hard courses to study. But, I mean, I had friends like, oh, I'm going to, be a business major. You know, I'm going to be a marketer. And they're like, I don't know, one's doing auto, like an auto mechanic and you know, at a main auto dealership. And I can't remember what the other guy is doing, but it was like something with sports. It's like totally different. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's totally different. You know,
When you get into college, you start taking all the different courses as well. And so you start realizing, oh, I have an interest in this as well. And so, because I went into fashion, that was really originally what I went into, which everybody was shocked because being a girl, I don't like to shop. I absolutely hate them all. Hated it as a teenager as well, and yeah.
Wow.
And I was in fashion. Go figure. That was kind of interesting.
You never know, I guess, eh?
Yeah, you do. You never. Now I write books. Yeah, who would have guessed that? So that's another one. I didn't even read it. I was like, oh, you have to read this book for English? What? Yeah, now I write books. That made my whole entire class laugh at our 15-year reunion. I was like, yeah. So is there anything you'd love to share with us, Rachel, about your book that you would love our listeners to know, parents to know for their kids? Because this is a picture book for children, even though I had never heard of an oryx before. So I learned about an animal I had never heard about my whole entire lifetime.
Same here. Yeah, I never did either, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what's this? And then I'm thinking it was going to look like an ox or something, just because,
right.
You know, ox, you know, I, for whatever reason, my brain just kind of put those two in the same category, and I was like, wait, this looks like an antelope. So what would you like, you know, parents and teachers to know about your book and how it can help young minds out there to expand in their world of animals and the wildlife?
Well, it's not that long of a book, but there's pictures on every page, and it's aimed towards the age range of fifth grade, because when I wrote it, you know, for my age group, so around the fifth grade area. I definitely like the fact about it that, like you said, you never heard of an oryx before. So, I mean, even if a parent is reading it to their child, even they're learning something from it, and I love that. And a lot of the stuff that I talk about through the book are all very close to fact. And like I said, the only thing that I created about this book was were the human characters and their names. Otherwise, everything else is basically very close to fact. So, if you want to learn about Kenya and lions and their family dynamic and other stuff that goes on in Africa, that's definitely a book. I think it's a good educational book, and also fun to read for that age group too.
Yeah, well, and what I love too is it teaches compassion, something that I know a lot of you actually hear it all the time on TV with news reporters and stuff. That they're like, wow, you know, somebody did this act of compassion, and you know, we just don't see this kind of stuff anymore. And I mean, even though these are animals, I loved, at least for like my younger kids, because I have two younger girls that are not in fifth grade. They're in preschool and first grade, so they're below your target readership. But when I read the story to them, that was what they picked up on. They picked up the compassion, you know, that this lion, of course, was caring for this other animal that wasn't its own kind, so it wasn't being prejudiced, you know, like, oh, well, you're not a lion, therefore, you know, I can't do anything with you or your food and I must kill you. Actually, my kids started quoting the Finding Nemo from the sharks, fish are friends, not food. Because I made them think of that. Like, Mommy, it's like the sharks in Nemo, fish are friends, not food. I'm like, yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So even for, I think, for little kids, you know, that are in, like, first, second, third grade, they can pick up the fact, you know, of compassion and caring for, you know, other people, even if they're different than you are, you know, be it from physical characteristics to mental characteristics to, you know, handicaps, whatever. And I love that. And I don't know if you meant to do that. I mean, I know that that's kind of what was going on with this lioness anyways from the real story. But, I mean, you really do bring that out in the story, the compassion. And so I guess as a fifth grader, you probably didn't really mean to do it. You probably just picked up on it. As a kid, that compassion. But I think you did a great job with that. So there is that underlying, you know, moral kind of story there as well. So our listeners know that. Well, I'm just kind of curious, Rachel. I know that the book is available on Amazon and Halo Publishing. Do you guys have a blog or a website that you've done for the book, or is it just strictly through those two locations?
You can order the books off of those two websites that you mentioned, but you can also check out the author's cafe on Halo Publishing, and I also have a Facebook fan page. Just put in the title of my book, Diary of My Days in Kenya, and or my name, Rachel Yurchison, and it should show up on Facebook, and you can like my book and see. And then sometimes I put some other stuff on there, like I think I put it down when I got a new phone and stuff like that.
Well, and I know you mentioned that you've also done some. You mentioned that you did a signing at a library. So do you share that on there as well? Like anytime you do have a book signing, or you're going to be somewhere talking about your book.
I did put on the fan page. The schedule for my World of Ink tour, saying blogs I was appearing on, and if anyone wanted to go on there and leave little comments and stuff like that, they're more than welcome to. And I definitely use it as more of a publicity thing, just saying like where I'll be and when I do have more book signings in the future, I'll definitely put them on there.
Okay, well, It's been great having you. I don't want to. I know our show normally is an hour, and I said I'd keep you on close to that. But with how busy you are, I'm sure you have homework because it is a Monday night. I know my kids came home with stacks of homework. They were more than happy to walk into my office and show me, like, look at all my homework, Mom. So like their cue of telling me when you get off, guess what you're helping me with. So, but it's been great having you on the show. Getting to know more about you, the fact that you wrote the story back when you're in fifth grade, and now it's a book. I mean, my goodness, that's just amazing. I remember when the book was circulated around Halo, since I am, you know, one of their editors there, but I didn't realize that you were in the fifth grade when you had written it. So I think that's just amazing.
It's been crazy. The people at Halo have done a great job and have definitely been understanding with me getting back slowly with my emails because of schoolwork or anything else, but everyone's been great, and I definitely would love to send my next book, if I write one, to Halo, and if any of my friends ever want to send anything out, I'm definitely suggesting Halo.
Yeah, they're a great team to work with. I was glad to be a part of the Halo family with them. You know, I also have a book with them as well. So They are. They're a great team to work with. Well, it's been great getting to know you better, Rachel, talking about your book, learning about, you know, your passion for, you know, animals and our world, because I think that's just phenomenal that you're so involved and that you're such an activist in what's going on in your local area as well, because we don't see a lot of that, and it's sad. We get too busy with our routines and don't stop and think about what, you know, what more we can be doing to help out as you know, a general group to make everybody's lives better. So I think it's great that you're aware of that and taking the time to do it. So we wish you much success, and definitely, you know, a great future, because you have a whole future ahead of you, and I think anything you put your mind to, you are going to be able to do it. So it'll be interesting to see when you write some other things, to see where you're at that time, because I just love watching, you know, the youth of this world being involved and showing their talent, so, and you have a lot of it. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much once again.
Yeah.
Take care, Rachel.
And so our listeners know, Rachel is doing a World of Ink tour with us, which is one reason why she's on our show, because we do, here at the World of Ink Network, have all the authors that are part of the World of Ink tour come on and do a radio show with us. You can find her page at storiesforchildrenpublishing.com. It's under the World of Ink tab. You can click on there. She's had interviews on other blogs. She's done a few guest posts talking about balancing being a full-time student along with writing. She's talked about the inspiration behind her book, how she developed her characters. There's some book reviews as well and giveaways that are still going on. So if you go to any of the blogs that did the book review and have a giveaway being hosted, you can add your name, and I think they're asking for your email, and you'll get put into a drawing to possibly win a free copy of Rachel's book. And, again, that is at storiesforchildrenpublishing.com. And then, again, please tune in tomorrow to the World of Ink to catch Marcia Casper's show, Good Story is a Good Story, and then to catch myself and Marcia on Friday on the What is Success show. And this is the Stories for Children show here at the World of Ink Network, and we thank you for listening. Everybody have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Follow me to the World of Ink.